On the phone now, Tony Sawicki, board chair, Manitoba Restaurant Association, and of course he owns a legendary restaurant in St. James, the Silver Heights. Tony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it. I want to get to patios in a second, but let's talk about the plan. So if we get to 70% of the people with first doses, 20% with second doses, this is 12 plus, including kids, by Canada Day, then 25% restrictions, 50% if we get to 75 and 50 by August, and then Labor Day, 80-75 are the targets, and that would be with limited restrictions. But, you know, as I, from a restaurant perspective, and that's why you're here, Tony, you're not going to even be able to get back to 50%, which was a struggle when we had 50%. It was tough for restaurants to make it go at 50%. You're not even going to get there for a month and a, hopefully sooner, but likely not for a month and a half.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this whole reopening plan. I just read it and listened to a little bit of it, but we were hoping to be open months and months ago, you know, and we've been waiting, rushing to wait here for that good news. And now today, it's just very frustrating. We are waiting. 30% of our population has 100% control of our industry. And that's what the frustrating part is. And what if we never get to those numbers? That reopening plan has a lot of mites in it, you know, and that's what's frustrating most.
Yeah, and not a lot of details on what we would get back if we hit those targets. And I get it. We're in the middle of a, hopefully, you know, on the way out of a third wave. It's a global pandemic. There's talk of a fourth wave. There's the Delta variant that everybody's concerned about. And so I get it. But man, I feel, you know, we had Chris Graves on from the Kings head on the start this morning, and I might play a bit of what he had to say. And you know, we had a barber on this morning. I'm going to try and find time for that audio as well, because it's just the frustration factor, eh?
Well, exactly. I mean, patios are outdoors. We're 6 feet apart outside. Servers are masked. It's totally controlled. There is no reason why we can't be open. And it's almost like we are shut down due to peer pressure. And we rely June, July, August on patio weather. You know, if you have one, it's crucial for your survival to be shut down, still waiting. And you know, it's 16 months later. We're still, you know, those of us that are still around are still hanging by the, you know, our fingertips here, trying to figure out how to continue. And there's restaurants just closing their doors because they can't wait anymore. They can't wait the 2 weeks. It's just not viable.
You know, you mentioned the patios, and I said earlier in talking about you coming up, I can imagine how angry and frustrated restaurant owners are if they have a patio, because I, this weekend, will be able to go to my buddy's place on his deck and sit at his table. But I can't go to a restaurant patio where I quite honestly would feel safer, because, you know, you're sort of in public view. Rules are being followed. The restaurants, I think, when we were seeing some dine in, whether it was on patios or in the restaurant itself, I thought restaurants did a really good job. And so that's an inconsistency that I think a lot of people don't, and there have been inconsistencies all through this, but I think that's when people are going, well, how can I on Saturday go to my buddy's place and sit on his deck, at his patio table, but I can't go to my favorite restaurant's patio and sit there, at a time when you guys are struggling incredibly and trying to stay afloat.
Well, it's funny because that's how we got closed, because when we were open, people, those same people argued, well, how can I go to a restaurant, but I can't sit on my buddy's patio? You know, you got two arguments on both sides, but restaurants since day one, well, restaurants forever have been, you know, been following all the safety and health practices. You know, I sound like a broken record when we say that, but we follow a certain kind of rules and guidelines to protect our staff and our community, our customers, our families. And we've continued to do so, and we've invested a lot of money, our own money, because, you know, the subsidies and grants that are coming in are helpful, but they're not here to, you know, carry us. And, you know, I put in $30,000 with the dividers and air purifiers and wands and sanitizations and that. And that's all money coming out just in hopes to reopen. But it's very, like I said, frustrating that we now have to wait until Canada Day. That's a super spreader event. You know, who knows what's going to happen after that? That logic is just not there for us.
Say that number again. You invested $30,000 in your restaurant, the Silver Heights, in dividers, sanitizing, fluid, masks, all that stuff.
You know, I'll send you a picture of my dining room now. This is pre-closing, right? This is something that we invested in only to protect our customers, right? We had to separate our table 6 feet, but then we put dividers in, and a lot of restaurants have. But we have glass, 8-foot by 4-foot glass dividers in between each table, and that's not cheap. We've done it through security glass. These guys were remarkable. They came in and measured and did everything, but they can be folded in once we get banquets in. But air purifiers, ActiPure machine that comes in and kills COVID within 3 minutes, it just sits there in the corner. It's like a little soldier that continuously helps our staff, you know, not having to worry. We got sanitization wands that we walk around and spray the VLTs and the doors and everything we invest in making everybody safe. We invest in our deep fryers and our ovens. I go on a tangent on absolutely everything we research and invest in just to make everything our lives easier. But we haven't stopped. This entire industry has not stopped trying to find ways to be creative to keep everybody safe. And, you know, it's almost like we are the government's best ally to continue to do that. Yet they're shutting their only soldiers down.
Yeah. And I know you're not you're not an anti-COVID guy. You're not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not either. We're discussing what appears to me to be a really blatant inconsistency. And especially when jobs and businesses are on the line, it would seem that, and the other day, Dr. Rusin said, well, we don't want to send the wrong message. We don't want to, you know, it's not a reopening. It's an adjustment, you know, to allow people to get together with a couple of friends. And I get all that. But, man, as you point out, it's been, we're coming up on a year and a half of this. And I just think if we can look at a situation and go, yeah, that makes sense. We should be adjusting and doing that for the good of businesses like yours and all your members at the Restaurant Association. Tony, it's my heart breaks. In our news meeting this morning, I said, you know, I know a lot of people in the restaurant business. I know I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I know a lot of people in business. And it's not just about you and your restaurant. It's about your family, your family of workers. And they can't work, and they're not working. And that ripple effect is incredible.
Yeah, all my staff here all have their vaccines. You know, they all are wearing masks. They're all staying in, trying to stay to make sure that they're not going in outside of each other's bubbles. They're here to, it's amazing. So yeah, we're not anti-maskers. We're not anti-vacciners. We understand the problem. Half of my clientele are ICU nurses. I hear the stories. We know it. We see it. And it's, we believe it. Hence why we invest in and making sure everything's proper. But yeah, the cases are coming in, whether restaurants are open or closed. It hasn't made the difference. So we know that restaurants are not the issue here, and that's another frustrating is, it doesn't matter if we're open or closed, the numbers are still there. And, you said something about a year after, there's a thing called takeout fatigue now. People are tired of takeout. It was strong at first. Second wave, okay, still there. Third wave, well, people are getting tired of that scene, ordering and taking it home, and barbecue weather. So restaurants now are struggling with that going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Takeout fatigue. Yeah. We're all tired of all of it, quite honestly. Tony, I know it's hard to put a number on it. I don't expect you to put a number on it, but you are the chair of the board, Restaurant Association, Manitoba Restaurant and Food Services Association. How many are gone forever? How many will be gone forever, do you think? Do you even try and put a number on that? Because I think even many that are open now and will be open when things ease up a bit, I think there's still a really good chance many of those will close.
You know, I don't have an exact number, no. I'm sure Megan or Sean Jeffrey from the association can give you those numbers. But, you know, restaurateurs are resilient. We are very creative. So the numbers at the beginning, we thought we were going to be at around a certain number. You know, we managed to scrape through, and with the help from the government and subsidies and queues and everything, we managed to get continue a little bit stronger. But I hear daily of another one and another one and another one dropping, and this finally closing its doors, because even at opening up at 25% or 50%, you still can't turn a profit. You know, our margins are so razor thin as it is. You know, the good restaurant works at a 5% profit margin, and you know, when now when you're investing all these extra, you know, protocols here, that just keeps getting smaller and smaller, and with no lights in sight as far as even this reopening plan, which was it's a good start. You know, we wanted a plan, now we got a plan. It's just too long of a wait for us to grasp and hold on any longer without any more support. You know, and it's
Tony, thanks for your time today. I got to let you go, but I appreciate your time. Best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Tony Sawicki, board chair, Manitoba Restaurant Association. He also owns Silver Heights Restaurant. 116, we have to take a break. We'll check the weather, and when we come back, more reaction to the reopening plan. Chuck Davidson will be here from the